Amen. Thank you for that prayer. Hey, if you got your Bibles or a Bible app, why don't you turn to Acts chapter 3. We're going to continue our study in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3. We're coming to an exciting section in the book of Acts because where we left off last week was that Jesus had promised his disciples something. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to receive some power. And now what we're about to see is some demonstrations of what Jesus was talking about. You know, a lot of times demonstrations are actually a lot more powerful than just words. I just want to give you parents something. Your kids are going to become what you demonstrate, not what you say. So in your house, if you're going around demonstrating a bunch of anger, your kids are going to grow up to be angry people. I had this come home to me recently, and that Joshua, you know, he's 15, he's starting to drive. And he's on the road, and all of a sudden we got some slow people in front of us. And Joshua's like, come on, you idiot, let's get going. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my Lord, I just regret the last 15 years of me driving because that is all on me. Kids become what you demonstrate as opposed to what you say. And we're about to see what God is demonstrating with the Holy Spirit for his young church. Because make no mistake about it. This group of people started out with 12, then 120, and then 3,000. It is still just a small sect of the Jewish religion, but it's about to become the message that we hear today. So Acts chapter 3, if you got your Bibles, we're going to read the first 10 verses, Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went together into the temple at the hour of prayer, beginning being the ninth hour. I kind of love the details in here. And I tell you, my secular job as a prosecutor, whenever I have a defendant who has an alibi, it's really interesting kind of taking on the alibi defense. And it's not that hard because what you do is you get into the details. And I've had this happen a couple of times on the witness stand in my last 20 years where, and I know the alibi guy's lying. I mean, I know he is because, like, we got DNA evidence, but, you know, it was me. And what you do is like, well, you know, what kind of game were you playing? Well, we're playing cards. Well, what kind of card game were you playing? Texas Hold'em. And then you get the other witness. Well, what kind of cards were you playing? Blackjack. You know, the devil's in the details. And I love the fact that Luke actually puts details like the exact hour. I mean, it lets people know, hey, what we're talking about really happened, because there's a whole bunch of people when I'm writing this letter that can dispute what I'm saying. And he's putting in the little details there. Let's keep on pushing on for a second. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. We're going to focus on these 10 verses today. And I hope to bring out a few points. And the first point I'd like to talk about is the power of partnership that we have. And to do that, I'm going to use a visual demonstration. I hope you all forgive me if this sets you on edge, but I want my nephew and my son to stand up here with me. Just standing up here. I know you feel awkward, but this is like me every Sunday. Okay, for this demonstration, this guy's going to be Peter, and this guy's going to be John. Now, here's the thing about Peter and the power of partnership. Peter is bold. Peter charges headlong into situations. Peter thinks and speaks before he actually has time to think and process it. Now, here's John. John's not like Peter. John's a little bit more quiet, but he's got some rock solid kind of faith. And the thing about it is we need both kinds of people right here. You know, when the tomb was empty, John and Peter are actually racing. They're kind of competitive because they were both fishermen. But God takes them and he says, you know, instead of being fishermen, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Sometimes God will take your desires, but he'll accomplish a different purpose with it. And so they go run into the empty tomb, and John actually wins the race this time, but he stops at the door. But Peter doesn't stop at the door. Peter rushes headlong on into it. And sometimes we need both. We need the person that's going to stand and be cautious and say, well, I'm not quite too sure about that. But sometimes we need the person that jumps back right on in there. But together, these people have a partnership that gives some power to it. Let's think about the empty, you know, at the Last Supper. At the Last Supper, Jesus says, hey, y'all are good. Somebody here is going to betray me. And John, with his simple, rock-solid faith, he doesn't do anything except he just leans on the breast of Jesus. And when Jesus is crucified, it's John that stays there to the very bitter end. Peter wasn't there. But there is a partnership. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Peter and John. This is the power of the partnership. Because when we come to this man with the book, with the alms, this begging for alms, here's what I got to say. Maybe if they weren't together, maybe if they didn't have Peter's boldness, they wouldn't have spoken to him. But maybe if they didn't have John's compassion, they wouldn't have stopped. Thank you. We have partnerships in the church. And there is a power in the partnership that the Lord gives us. They don't, and look, I want to say something else. We can agree on the majors. But people don't necessarily have to share my perspective to partner with me for the kingdom of God. God is sovereign. Jesus died for my sins, and he accomplished something with that death. And we're going to worship him in the New Testament examples. Now, there are little things and little perspectives that you might have a little bit slightly, but if we can agree on the fundamentals, we can partner together. And when we partner together in the power of the Holy Spirit, some magic things can happen. Peter and John, they needed each other. And there is a blessing in the power of the partnership that those two had. You know, Kobe needed Shaq. Shaq needed Kobe. Lennon needed McCartney. Kanye needs Kim. There's a power in partnership. And so we don't need to spend efforts and we don't need to spend a lot of energy making sure that we all have cookie cutter uniformity if we can agree on the majors. I am not here to make you a bunch of little John Melvins, and I need an amen on that one. Holy cow, you people, yeah, there you go, right? And here's the thing, you know, I bring something to a partnership that you might not bring. And we need to teach this in our marriages too, in partnerships. We don't have to be exactly the same. Maria can call things out of me to make me the better person. But part of that process and conflict, and you know, sometimes partnerships has a little bit of conflict. I mean, but that's okay because God can use a partnership. I don't need to be married to somebody who's just going to pat me on the back and affirm everything I do because I do a lot of stupid stuff. There is power in a partnership. And maybe that's why Jesus says, you know, wherever two or three are touching, touch and agree, hey, you know, here comes the, watch out. There's a power in a partnership. So the Acts chapter 3, verse 1, as the Holy Spirit goes out because Jesus sends them out, you know, he had sent them out previously two by two. But here's the thing. The coach is no longer on the field and they're on their own, but they're still continuing in the way. And they go out in a partnership. And I just find it so interesting that it's Peter and John that partner up together. And I'm very thankful for that. And in this particular situation, Peter and John go out with Peter's boldness, with John's compassion, and something special kind of happens. We need each other. And we might not always get along. Heck, we can, upholstery proves that. Ha! We don't all agree on everything, but when we partner together and we're willing to esteem others better than ourselves, when we're operating in the function of the Spirit, good things and healing can occur in accordance with God's plan. So there's a power to partnership. And I want you to just kind of think about the partnerships in here. And we talked about Peter and John's partnership. But let's look at the lame man's partner too. Because the man at the gate had some partners. It says in verse 2, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb. Hey, let me stop you there. That means inside the womb the guy was lame. There are times when we have genetic predispositions that we have to resist because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You follow me? Sometimes people are born with genetic deep predispositions that you might need to resist. It might be a predisposition towards alcoholism. It might be a predisposition towards an orientation, genetic in nature. But you need to resist it for Jesus' sake. This man, y'all live out there? This man was lame from his mother's womb. And we know that he had been on this earth for about 40 years. This man was lame from his mother's womb, and they carried him daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. This man had been at the gate for 40 years. Now, how did he get to the gate? Well, it says the day. There's some unknown partners out there. They laid him daily at the temple gate. Now, we know from this time period in historical writings, it's going to be one of two situations. Because they had one situation where they had professional people that would carry the beggars out and lay them at the gates or lay them in the public marketplace. And what would happen is the lame person would pay them a percentage of the take. I mean, that was actually a business that occurred back then. Or maybe this guy had some good friends. Hey, you take him Tuesday and Thursday, I'll take him Wednesday and Friday, and we'll just get this thing together. I mean, maybe he had some good friends. But be that as it may, one way or another, this guy had some partners. And here's the thing we need to know about the partners that this guy had. They could only take him so far. You know, they were able to take him to get help, but they weren't able to heal him. And here's a couple of questions I got for you. When we're talking about partnerships, this says Peter and John. Who's on the other side of your and? Who are you partnering up right now? And is your partner taking you to a place where you can get help? Or is your partner taking you down the wrong road right now? Who you partner with is really important. Young ladies, young men, as y'all go out there and y'all are seeking mates to spend the rest of your life with, you need to think long and hard about who the other is going to be on the end of that and. Who's going to be on the end of that and that partner that you team up with? Do not, the scriptures say, be unequally yoked with non-believers. Don't do it. Don't do it. That's a bad partnership. So this man had some partners, but they could only take him so far. He had been at the gate for over 40 years. It was an ugly affliction, you know, at a beautiful place because they were taking him to the gate called Beautiful. And sometimes, you know, you feel that way at church. It's the juxtaposition of the junk that you are dealing with the joy that you are part of that can kind of make you feel out of place. He could go where they were, but he couldn't go in to do what they were doing. He was being left at the gate. And being a lame man, he couldn't go into the temple. He was like an unclean, you know, heifer. I mean, there's some things that he wasn't allowed in. So he could go where they were going, but he couldn't do what they were doing. It was kind of a weird thing. And so Peter and John come along, and I kind of wonder when Peter and John came along, what would have happened if they hadn't stopped? But they did. And they stopped either because of Peter's boldness or John's compassion. More than likely, it's because of a combination of the two of them. But they stopped. And this is kind of cool. Hey, be careful. Just kind of a quick note. Be careful of the people that you step over. Or be careful of the people you step on as you're climbing up the corporate ladder. Because when you're stepping over and stepping on people, you may be missing a miraculous opportunity. Hey, make no mistake about it. I am looking at the body of Christ right now. And I am looking at ministers of the body of Christ. It's not just Elder Coy and myself. It's y'all. And he gave some prophets and priests and apostles and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Brother Coy and I, as pastors and teachers, are to equip the saints for the working of the ministry. Amen. Working the ministry is in your hands. Be careful who you step over. Be careful who you step on. Because you might be missing a miracle in that time. So here Peter and John come, and they're coming up, and they're coming up to the great call, beautiful, and they pass by the paralytic man, and Peter stops, and together they see a miracle. And maybe this is why Jesus said, Matthew 18:19, again, I say unto you, and if Jesus repeats something, here's what I want to say. I want to stop, and I'm going to listen. He says, again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The power of the partnership is a partnership that is tied up with God. And here we are. If we can bring our differences together, what can we accomplish? And it says, whom they laid daily. So Peter and John and the man, you know, Peter and John are going into the temple, and the man wants one thing, but God has determined something else. Let me tell you something. God can use your desires to help get you to your destiny. I mean, this man just wanted a handout, but God used that desire of asking to bring him to where he wanted to take him. That's the power of an omnipotent God that we have. Don't ever count God out. And so here we are, and it says, verse 4, and Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. Okay, yeah, I've talked about the power of partnership, but really, scriptures haven't really indicated that John's done anything. You know, Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John. I mean, John was looking, and then Peter said, look on us. So we've talked about Peter and John. We've talked about the lame man's partners. Let's talk just a second about the silent partner, because John was there, but, you know, really he hadn't been doing much. And I just want to say thank God for silent partners. You know, not everybody gets behind this pulpit and speaks, but worship doesn't take place if the dishes don't get done, if the grass doesn't get mowed, if the maintenance isn't done. Thank God for silent partners. And we got some amazing ones in this church. And I just want to say to Camp Creek Church, thank y'all. I got to tell you, just by way of example, I'm still struggling with my ankle that I severely twisted 3 weeks ago or something like that. And in the morning time, it is a struggle for me to get down the stairs. Now, about 5 years ago, I'm walking down the stairs and I lean on the hand railing, and my hand railing, because it was put in really shoddily, just broke in half. And I literally go, blah, 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 thinking the whole way down. I wonder who Camp Creek's going to call. Blah, blah, blah. But Brother Clyde came over and he installed it, and it's like super fastened to the wall. And I'm not sure quite if Superman could get that thing off the wall anymore. And I got to be honest with you, I was leaning pretty heavily on that one, saying, you know, thank you, Brother Clyde. He's been a silent partner in my life. He doesn't get a lot of accolades, but he's done a lot of work. And I just want to say thank you. And thank you to this church for the silent partners in this church. Y'all might not have the trumpets blaring and y'all might not be behind the pulpit, but without you, things don't get done. There is power in a partnership. Thank you. And so we have Peter and John coming on, and Peter fastens his eyes on them, and he says, look on us. And verse 6, it says, then Peter said, silver and gold, because there's one more partnership we need to talk about, and that's partnership with God. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So Peter looks on him and says, hey, in the name of Jesus Christ, and I don't have any gold, and I don't have any silver, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand. Now, y'all know that the right hand, I mean, we all know this, right? It's like the hand of authority. I mean, that's the hand of authority. know, the Lord says to the people on the right hand, come on in and inherit the kingdom prepared for you, you know, beginning the earth here. And for the people on the left hand, he's like, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. But the right hand is where Jesus Christ is sitting next to. I mean, the right hand is the throne of power. It's the hand of authority. I got a question for you. Because this man had some authority. This lame man had some authority in his life. It was paralysis. You know, paralysis was this man's authority. Paralysis dictated how far he could go, what he could do, how far he couldn't go, and what he couldn't do. What is your paralysis right now? Because we all have some paralysis. I got to be honest with you. This passage in the book of Acts is one of my favorite passages in the book of Acts because it starts out that there was a lame man. And if ever there's a description of somebody in the Bible, that's a description of me. I'm lame. So are you. And I've got some areas of paralysis in my life, and I know some of you do too. What is authority in your life right now dictating how far you can grow spiritually and how much? I mean, maybe. I don't know. Maybe your paralysis is your parents. You know, they didn't say I love you enough. Or maybe they said I love you, but for every I love you they gave, there was 20 different criticisms. 30 different jokes. Oh, we're joking, but you know we love you. And all deep down inside, your soul is screaming, I need to know you love me. With words of I love you as opposed to jokes. Because the jokes hurt and the jokes leave scars. Maybe your parent was a parent of perfectionism. Where when you come home with a 97, they say, why didn't you get 100? And now, because of your constant need to be able to impress a parent who's not even on this earth anymore, you're still feeling the anxiety to perform, to please, to accomplish something, and you just can't seem to let that anxiety go. What is your paralysis right now? Because we all got some paralysis. We all have some limiting beliefs and authorities over our life right now that are keeping us from being the men and women that God has called us to be. Because, hey, let me repeat something from last week, ladies and gentlemen. Because you'll see this in Acts chapter 2. When it says that the Holy Spirit came, it fell on each of them and all of them. And Peter stands up and say, hey, what's happening here is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel when it said that Spirit's going to fall on the men and on the women. The men and the women. Ladies, y'all have equal right to be free of your paralysis. You have an equal anointing of the Holy Spirit, men and women. Let me put a footnote in there. The Bible also says that elderships and deaconships are for men. It's very clear about that. But you can serve in a role where you're teaching and ministering to other people because you have the Holy Spirit and we don't have second-class citizens. And so in this situation right here, Peter and John are speaking to this lame man, and they're saying, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I say, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand. Because when you partner your paralysis with the omnipotent power of God, healing comes in your life. Healing. And it won't be done otherwise. Oprah's not going to bring you some healing. Dr. Phil's not going to bring you some healing. The latest self-help book's not going to bring you healing. Horoscopes aren't going to give you direction. There is nothing but Jesus Christ that can bring healing, and it's going to be through the Holy Spirit. And it happened right here, and it said Peter took his right hand and immediately. There's only one other time in the New Testament when that word is used outside of Luke's writings. It's all over the Gospel of Luke. It's all over the book of Acts. Luke is an action person, but the only other time it's used is in the Gospel of Matthew, and it's used one time. The scriptures say, and immediately Luke is into the action. The physician sees that when Peter reached down and grabbed his hand, the healing came immediately, just like Jesus Christ promised it. Jesus says, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, power is going to come upon you people. And so the apostles are like, whoa. And so, hey, let me ask you something right here. The healing that came, whose faith brought it? How about Peter? If Peter had never believed, Peter never would have reached out. There is no confession that has taken place in the paralytic man, and healing came. Because a man who trusted God said, God told me power is going to come through me. Now, it might be like this. I mean, power coming to me to be able to bring healing. This is what Jesus told me. Holy cow, do you know what that means? Because I grew up in a household that talked about Elijah and Elisha and the raising of the dead by the widow of Nain's son. You mean I'm going to get to walk among saints like that? You mean I'm going to have the same kind of power as saints like that? Little old me, the man who betrayed you? Is that serious? And you know, here's the thing. Peter's reaching out because he trusted Christ. Do you trust Christ for the things that Christ has said about you? Because here's what the Bible says about you. You're chosen. You're redeemed. You're a holy people, peculiar unto the Lord. That means you're owned by Him. You are reconciled. You are sanctified right now. That's the reality. And Peter is acting on the reality, and some amazing things are taking place. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Because for too long, paralysis has been this man's authority, telling him what he could do and what he could not do. But Jesus says, hey man, I'm going to give y'all some power. Hey, here's the thing. You know, what the little paralytic man didn't know is that God had Google synced Peter's calendar with his calendar. He didn't know that, but the Google sync take place, and now the two calendars are combined, and some healing's coming. What has the omnipotent God has in store for us? We don't know. We don't know. And sometimes, you know, here's what I can tell you, because it said they took him to this place daily. He had seen Jesus come there before. If he had been at that gate daily, he had seen Jesus come there before. And I got to wonder, is he a guy that had called out to Jesus and Jesus had walked on by knowing in his fullness of knowledge that, hey, healing's coming, but not right now. And maybe it's not right now for you, but you keep on getting put in the place and in the path to where healing can come. Hey, man, if you didn't do anything right today, at least you're in church. If you didn't do anything right this week, at least you put yourself in the path. And there are times when you will not have immediate results, but you keep on doing it because the demonstrations that are in the Bible is for the faithful people, healing comes. And so it keeps on going. And they're not dissuaded. Peter's not dissuaded by the condition. Peter's not going to back down by that because Peter worships a God who is absolutely is omnipotent. And Peter acknowledges, hey, silver and gold have I none. I don't have much. But you know what? With God, you don't need much. You know, Matthew, I think it's in chapter 14. And they got... They're talking, they're preaching, Jesus preaching. There's 5,000 people that are there, and he wants to feed them because it's been a few days since they've eaten. They're kind of hungry. He says, okay, guys, feed them. Well, you know, Lord, you know, if you had just given us a little bit more notice, perhaps we could have accomplished your purpose. Well, what do you got? Two fish, a couple of loaves? Bring them here. Yeah. When your little bit combines with God's omnipotency, amazing things can happen. So when, you know, I don't have much. Well, you got breath in you, you know. When your service combines with God's purpose, when you combine what little bit, so silver and gold have I none, I don't care how inept you are. You're a child of God in the kingdom of God with an omnipotent God. I'm not eloquent of speech. Well, you got hands. I don't have much. You got two fish, a couple of loaves. Just, you know, see what God can do. And so Peter comes on. He says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, here's what I'm going to say. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. There's a story. It's a true story I read. It was called The Power of the Bunt. And it was about, not the power of the bunt, the story of the bunt or the power in bunting or something. And what it was this coach that had this little league team that just, they were horrible. I mean, they were like worse than the Bad News Bears. And what he started teaching them was, hey, bunt. Not too many teams are at this age are really good at handling the bunt. And so his team started bunting and they actually started winning some games. I mean, it was kind of exciting for them. They were beating good teams with the power of the bunt. And bunts are just a little thing. Bunts are not too exciting. But sometimes God calls on us to bunt. Hey, you don't have to do anything too exciting. But what I'd like you to do is in my name, do what you do. You know, you were fishermen. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Hey, you go to the office and you're around the coffee pot and people are sharing their stories. Hey, how about doing that in my name? And when your coworker's talking about their troubles, how about sharing yourself in my name? It's just a little thing, but watch what I can do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Silver and gold have I none. That's all right. So this man who was continually putting himself in front of the temple gate, you know, and why was he going to the temple gate? I mean, they had beggars all over the city, but this man was going to the temple gate, and I hope it was because the people of the temple were known to be generous. And I hope and I pray that our community looks at Camp Creek Church that way. Not that we're a place to get a bunch of handouts, but that we are a place where healing can take place because we will help break down the barriers of what you think, you know, you might have a bad perspective about God. I'd love, and we'd love as a church to be a church where that barrier can be broken down. Maybe you have a misguided concept about Jesus and that he's your get out of hell free card. No, we want to be a place where we can break down that barrier because in Jesus' name, with a life surrendered to Jesus, healing can come. Thank you. Amen. Healing can come. And so this man right here, he puts himself daily at the temple gate. You know, don't drop me off at the bar because I can't drink this problem away. Don't drop me off at the club because I can't dance this problem away. Don't drop me at the crack house. Don't drop me at the whorehouse. Don't drop me so I can get some sort of quick fix. I need to get something real healing. And he is getting them to drop him at the beautiful gate where he can get some real healing. And here come Peter and John because of a Google sync that took place that he never knew about. Man, we have a good God. And on a certain man, I mean, don't blow past that when you're reading verse 1. Healing came to a certain man. God operates with a purpose. God operates for a purpose. God operates own purpose. But this man said, put me in the path where people are going to pray because I want some healing. So at least he put himself in the right path. And on 3 o'clock that afternoon, he got some healing. Now, I'm not even going to go into the fact that most of the healings that we see in the New Testament are healings that took place outside of the church. Healings that took place outside of the church. So don't limit God to Sunday. Because Jesus is on the job Monday through Friday. All week long. It's not limited to Sunday. So here we go on. And at the lowest point of his life, he figured the place to go was to the church. And I hope our community feels that way. You know, I got to go to Camp Creek Church. Show me where this man earned his miracle. It's not there. Show me where this man even had a pure motivation. All this guy wanted was some money. He wanted some lunch. Money. God doesn't. And let me tell you something. For those of you, God doesn't care what brought you here. God doesn't even really particularly is worried about the motivation that you came. Maybe because you came just because your parents made you. Maybe you came to see if you could meet a nice young lady. I'm not sure why you're here, but I can tell you, the God's here, and if you have a desire that Jesus is present and healing is possible because of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says immediately His feet and his bone, ankle bones received strength. Now, we got to also look at something else in this passage too. We got to look at the price that was paid to bring this back. The price that was paid. You know, Peter and John, it says in chapter 4, just a few verses down, Peter and John actually went to jail for this. Look out who you hang out with. So Peter and John paid a price because they're preaching the gospel. And man, it was a good sermon too. I mean, Peter had been a coward before. He's looking at the people and the crowd because what happened is, according to scripture, is that the paralytic man gets up and he leaps up and they start to walk into temple. And then after temple, they're going over to the what's called Solomon's porch and people are just starting to follow them. I mean, we got hundreds of people. It says a little bit later that the number grew from 3,000 to 5,000. So we knew 2,000 people joined the church that day and people are just starting to follow because they knew this man. They've known this man from infancy. Couldn't walk, and they're just like, whoo, man, this is something else. And just a little bit after that, Peter starts preaching this sermon to all those hundreds and hundreds of people there, and then he's looking up at the religious authorities, and he's saying, you people crucified Jesus Christ. You people, why are you looking at us? You're the ones that crucified Jesus Christ. So they arrested him because Peter and John were threatening their system of theology. And religious people don't take that too well. So, Peter and John go to jail. But you know, somebody else paid a price that day. The paralytic man paid a price that day. And I want you to kind of look at it from the perspective of the paralytic man. What kind of price would a paralytic man pay that day? Because let me tell you something. If you want to change, change costs you something. I want to lose weight. And I've wanted to lose weight for a number of years. I just got to be quite frank with you. But I haven't been willing to pay the price of the gym at 5:30 in the morning. I want to. I think I'm going to hit it this year. Because you're looking at the beta version of John. You know? You are, and I hope maybe in 2016, John's going to be a little bit thinner. But in order to do that, I'm going to have to pay a price. I'm going to have to cut the calories. I'm going to have to hit the gym. I'm going to have to do a combination of those two. Change costs you. What about the paralytic man here? What did it cost him? What, you know, because here he is. And I tell you something, grace can cover, will not just cover your weak feet, but it's going to strengthen your weak life. And it will become in you a power that is going to prevail over your paralysis. And it'll become in you a new purpose. But you will not change if you do not pay the price. Oh, I want strength, but I don't want to work out. I want the change, but I don't want the challenge. There is a price to be paid. Peter paid a price. John paid a price. The beggar pays a price because here's the price he had to pay. He had to pay the price of new beginnings. Because all he had ever known his whole life was begging. And he had to figure out, you know, where am I going? This is all I've ever known. You know, this is the only way I have ever known to respond to conflict. This is the only way I've ever known to handle anger. I always scream. I always yell. This is the only way I've ever known to be happy. How do I do it without drugs? How do I do it without sex? I don't know. I've never had this before. This is the only thing I've ever known. How can I get this done? This is the only way I've ever known how to get high. But God is given a new and different way to get up to this man. He's gonna have to give up his old lifestyle of begging. He can't beg anymore because he's got a new purpose. And we all have kind of quick fixes. We all have all kinds of dependencies that we've created to establish some semblance of stability in our lives. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Amen. And this man had gone astray, and this man had a particular life, and he's going to have to get up. He's going to have to live a new life. But Peter gave this man a lift, and when this man figured out what was going on, his immediate response was to start to dance. You know, one step, two steps, and then he's doing the Macarena. I mean, it's exciting stuff. Verse 7, and when he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. The people started gathering. The people started watching. And when you finally commit to going down the right path, when you're finally willing to pay the price, when you finally hook up with the right people, I tell you something. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 58, you know, foxes have the holes, birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his hands. When you are finally decided that you are going to follow Jesus, there's a price to be paid. But I got something else for you too. Hey, look, here's the choice you got right now. And I don't want to mince words. You either follow Jesus or you don't follow Jesus. There is no third option. There is a broad way that leads to destruction. There is a narrow way. There's a house on the rock. There's a house on the sand. There's the good tree. There's the bad tree. There is no third tree. You're either following Jesus or you're not following Jesus. There's no half-hearted following Jesus. Jesus is pretty good on Sunday. No, he's not. He's good 24/7, 365. That's the God that we serve. Follow Jesus. But if you follow Jesus, there's a price to be paid. Giving up some of the old ways. Crucifying the lust of the flesh. There's no middle ground on this one. But look at what happens. This man, he jumps up, he leaps around, everything's going good. And here he's, you know, I've never seen anything like this. I didn't know the joy like this is possible. I didn't know that I could turn the other cheek when someone slapped me. I didn't know that I had a greater power with it. I didn't know. Look at what I can do. And you would think that everybody would be happy for him. But they weren't. And the man finds himself kind of caught in a conflict between what the Jewish leaders think and his new way of life. And here's what I want to say too. I mean, I want you to notice something else, because I want to go one more verse than what we read this morning. Because what do you do with your opportunities? When you have opportunities. Well, you know, this man's standing up. Peter says, I say to you, rise up. It's like a, you know, first Falcons fan. Rise up and walk, you know. And here this man, he hops up. He's leaping, dancing, going into the temple court. This is an opportunity. What are you doing with the opportunity to present yourself? This is what Peter thought he'd do. Peter said, I'm going to preach. And so he literally uses this man as a prop. Here we go. Verse 11. And the lame man which was held, Peter, which was healed, held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them in Solomon's porch. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why are you marveling at this? Why you look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. You know, Peter's sitting here using this man as a prop. Peter's giving some props to God. Why are you looking at us? It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you know, I want you to notice something about this verse. And the man that was healed held Peter and John. Now, that word held, you might think it meant hugging, but it doesn't mean hugging. It's more of a leaning. I got a question for you. Why is the man leaping in one verse and in the very next verse the man's leaning? What's going on with that? I mean, because here's the thing about God's healing. It's not partial. God's healing is complete. This man was totally healed and he's leaping and he's praising and he's doubting and he's doing the Macarena. I mean, it's all good, except Macarena's a little bit dated. and he's all excited. He's leaping. But right now, he's kind of leaning. Why you got to lean? Why is he leaning on Peter and John? Hey, let me ask you something. What are you leaning on that you don't have to lean on anymore? Anybody here? Is anybody here leaning on something you don't have to lean on anymore? Because let me tell you something about this paralytic man. One of the reasons that the paralytic man is leaning is because his mentality had not caught up with the reality of who he is. When Peter reaches down, he is immediately healed. He became healed. But now he's entering into a new lifestyle, and he has began a new lifestyle. Became, began. Brothers and sisters, in Christ, you have become a new creature. When the Holy Spirit came down on you, when you were dead in sins and trespasses, and the Holy Spirit breathed new life into you, you have a new heart and you have life. You have become a child of God. Now it's time to start beginning. Become, begin. Mentality, reality. Here's the reality of your situation. As one of God's elect, he foreknew you before the foundation of the world. He chose you to be in him. If you're a visitor among us, don't take my word for it. Let's go to Scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us in all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according to that he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You're chosen, you're holy, you're picked. You're on his team. That's the reality of the situation. Has your mentality caught up with that yet? You have become a child of God because of the sovereign operation of the Holy Spirit according with the plan of God that was before the foundation of the world. Have you begun to operate as if you were that child of God that you are? Here he is. Here he is, leaping and dancing. He didn't know. What are you leaning on? For some of you, it might be a person. For some of you, it might be a substance. For some of you, it might be food. For some of you, it might be food with substances. For some of you, it might be a pattern of pessimism or negativity. For some of you, it might be a way of dealing with things or with people, or it might just be a habit. But this man became, and then he began. This man was holding on to Peter and John, and Peter doesn't seem to mind, and he starts preaching. He uses that paralytic man as a prop. The man used Peter and John as a prop to lean on. Peter and John are using him as a prop to point to. God says, I'm going to heal you so I can use you as a prop. And so he's going to show his strength through weaknesses. Verse 12, and Peter saw it, and he answered the people, men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power and holiness we made this man walk, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Why don't we do the same? You know, forgive the colloquialism, but give props to God for the healing that he's brought to our lives. For propping us up where we lean, for strengthening us where we're weak. All this man was doing was holding on and staying in position. You know I can walk, I just don't know where to go. Guys, now you got me into this. Won't you stay with me? Because all I've known my whole life is begging. You know, we've talked about growing in grace before, and one of the principles of growing in grace, one of the things you got to do to grow in grace, we talked about keep on peddling. Well, let me tell you something else to do to grow in grace. Keep on holding on. And if you got to lean, you lean on the one that brought you the healing. Over 2,000 people joined the church that day. Maybe not because Peter preached that awesome of a sermon. It was a pretty good sermon, but 2,000 people? Maybe they joined the church that day not because of Peter's preaching, because of the prop, because of the paralytic man. And sometimes God will use people more than he'll use the preacher. And sometimes he'll use the weakness more than he'll use the strength. Jesus was so simple, you know, follow me. I'll show you what your new feet can do. I'll show you the walk to walk. Let me show you where. You know, our prayer, God, will you show me? Just like the paralytic man. God, will you show me where to go next? God, show me how to love my enemies because I've never done that before. Show me how to trust you because I don't know how. Will you show me how to raise my kids because I didn't have a father, Dad. You know, I didn't. Lord, show me how to raise my kids. I'm holding on. I have a new heart, but Lord, I don't have new habits yet. I'm holding on. I'm right here, Lord. Just lead me where you want to go because I don't know where to go yet. I'm not used to these new legs, but if you lead me, I'll be right there, Lord. I don't know where I'm going to go, but wherever you lead, Lord, I'm going. Lord, lead me.